turn it on, see if it works.
And
Duke Fokker and Mary Wilson.
Fakir.
Yeah.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM. Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Pamplona and Piatone.
Here.
Breaking news. An otter.
Mine's bigger than that.
I beg your pardon?
Pounced on an 8-year-old boy as he swam to a rope swing in a river outside of Seattle. The otter then pounced on the child's grandmother as she tried to intervene. Trappers found several females with pups in the area. They showed no signs of aggression, but trappers did find a male otter acting aggressively. So, the otter was trapped and euthanized.
That makes sense.
Yes, because a river otter living in a river is not right.
That's despicable.
Rivers are for kids and grandmothers to access rope swings.
It's science.
Let's review. Hot coffee is hot. Thin ice is thin. Racetracks have cars racing on them.
Ow!
And river otters live in the river.
That is a scientific fact.
Uh-huh. Developing story. A teen in Utah was killed while sunbathing in her driveway.
Seriously?
Her sister accidentally backed over her, taking the car out of the garage.
Well, that's cast rather a gloom over the evening, hasn't it?
New Tony Stewart rule. No walking, running, or sunbathing anywhere cars are allowed.
Right, that's bad. Okay. All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting on the Super Streamliner, the G, on the Gear Force, WGN.FM, Chicago.
That's right, Tom.
Gary.
How you doing?
I'm fine. Happy hump day.
It's a sad story. The second story, the girl had put a towel down on her driveway to sunbathe.
Yeah.
Her sister's backing out. She has no idea. She's sitting there, lying there.
That would be a little jarring, wouldn't it?
You're thinking of all the places to sunbathe.
Yeah.
I don't think the driveway is my favorite.
You know,
mainly,
Gary,
because it's too hard. You want to be on a nice soft surface, some sand,
so.
Some grass, whatever.
Yeah, I think you've got to add to that, you know, coffee's hot, animals
yes.
swim in the ocean, and you don't sunbathe on a driveway, you know, or something like that.
Well, that otter story, too. I'm just about done with these idiots that are attacked by animals who are in their natural habitat, and then the poor animal gets killed because of it.
Yeah, it is true. And as our numbers grow and we spread into these areas, which are their, as you say, natural habitat, they're indigenous to those areas, we're going to get more stories like that. I see that all the time up in Alaska. You know, these bears wander into town, or the moose and so forth, and they cause a problem. But, you know, they were there first. So
yeah, the otter was shot Sunday afternoon with a .22 caliber pistol
wow.
with a silencer.
Wow.
Why, I need to know that it had a silencer. Does that make it better for the otter?
I don't know. I know one thing. If you shoot a bear or something like that up in Alaska, you better have a darn good reason. Because they really go after people that shoot these animals. You know, and if you're not, your life isn't literally at risk, they're going to come after you. There's prison time and fines and everything
As
else.
As there should be.
Yeah.
It said the silencer was on the gun. And then it says, was at least 4 feet long. The silencer or the otter? What was 4 feet long?
Wow.
That's a run-on sentence.
And why would they put a silencer on the gun? That's
yeah.
pretty weird. It sounds like they were trying to pull something that maybe they knew they shouldn't have. You know, because why would you muffle the sound of the thing if you felt you were had a legitimate right to shoot the animal?
A necropsy, is that how you pronounce that? That's the animal version of autopsy?
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Was being conducted to find out if some diseases or injury may have contributed to the aggressive behavior of the otter.
Gary, where did that happen?
This is about 40 miles outside of Seattle.
Gotcha.
Although the otter will need to be tested for rabies, the disease is all but unheard of in otters. It says the diseases, but I'll say disease.
Yeah.
The 8-year-old boy who was attacked needed stitches for bites, and his grandmother was at risk of losing an eye from the attack. Well, that's the way it goes. That's where the otter lives as you swim to the swing. They were going to a rope swing.
See, that's a little closer call, because there the animal has aggressively attacked the human, don't you think? I mean, what are you going to do?
They thought initially that it was a female otter protecting her pups.
Yeah.
But when they approached the female otter, the otter was not aggressive, but they found the male otter was not really scared by the dogs they had with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I guess, said it was aggressive. So, but again, why do you need the rope swing over the river? Why don't you put it over a pool or something? Or an amusement park. What's the otter supposed to do? This is where they've been relegated to live.
I know.
Because of our...
It's pretty sad.
Our prejudices against these things.
Right.
They're forced to live in these areas.
You remember, did you see that video, what was it, about a month ago, of that dog that was attacking that little kid in a driveway somewhere, and this cat came out and really let this dog have it and probably saved the kid's life.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That was,
now, in a driveway, if the otter comes to your driveway.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. If it's a crazy otter, you're in your driveway, it's after you there. Yeah, all right. But the natural habitat of the otter is a river.
Of course.
And that's where they live, like all these other animals. And then we put these things out there, and then the animal is not sure what the hell's going on. It's just doing what it's programmed to do. And now we have one less otter.
I think the key piece of evidence here is the fact that they had a silencer on the gun. Why would you do that?
I know. Why did they have to point that out in the story?
Yeah. If this were purely for protective purposes, you wouldn't care whether a silencer was on there. If you thought, there was a definite risk of life or death in this situation. It sounds like there was a little planning ahead of this thing, and that maybe there's something more to this story than we're being told.
Well, in other news, the Second City took the top spot on an event management firm's 2014 list of top U.S. destinations for meeting and events.
That's pretty cool,
isn't
it?
And I have to say, how about a little credit to our man Rambo, since he's been recording those, hey, Chicago's a beautiful place, I think we're having impact.
You think so, huh?
Yeah,
attracting people to the city?
Let me share one right now.
Oh, please do.
I don't want to get pushy, but how many months have I been telling you about this great city of Chicago, and you still haven't decided to come here? I mean, come on, let's be realistic here. There are only a handful of cities in this entire country that I would remotely want to vacation in. What? You're going to visit some city in Iowa that has the largest ball of twine on earth? Tell me you've ever heard someone say to you, hey, I'm going to Little Rock to spend a solid week of rest and relaxation. Ha ha. Oh yes, we are so excited to spend time with the kids in Wichita. Yeah, right. Face it. You need to visit the third largest city in America because we offer a good bang for your buck. If you think Omaha has a 1,000-foot-tall building with a sky deck you can walk into on the top, then have at it. Oh, I can't go to Chicago with all the violence. Please, you'd rather book a trip to some town in bumscrew Tennessee? Don't think so. Now go to your computer and start booking the hotel in Chicago, not Paducah. Or maybe you like staying at travel lodges with above-ground pools where the ice machine is in the parking lot. The rest of you who know what it's like to have a good time realize you only have a few choices in the USA. Just listen to these two sentences. We're going to Chicago for our vacation. Or listen to the sound of this. We're going to Cincinnati on vacation. You pick.
Enough said. That's Jim pulling people into the city here.
I live here, and I'm already on the phone ready to book a hotel room downtown.
Yeah, once in a while. You're scared to come down here, too, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Because you go right from your little palace.
Right, my north side
over to Bradley
Chateau.
Place. You never get within 4 miles of downtown.
I know. Jeez. Well, reading the news, and so I'm afraid to go. No, that's not true. I go down all the time.
I got you there, Tom. You were going to break bad, buddy. I want you to break bad. It's good to get it out.
You know what? Ramsey was in here last night because we had one of these late post-ball game things, and we were discussing these travelogues that you have him doing. And, I think they're very effective. I think you're right. There probably are people flooding into the city.
Mm-hmm.
already with just the airing of these for the last couple of months.
What was he saying last night?
Well, he was saying that, you know, he plows through it, but he does wonder if there are lawsuits that are going to get involved.
Lawsuits?
Or something like that.
What have I said that's not correct?
Well, no, you're completely above board.
Well, what have I written? He says it.
Right.
I write him for
right.
him.
Right, I know.
Hey, there are no rules. That's why this is kind of a nice thing.
It really is. It's,
can't sue us.
Marvelous, I know.
I remember I was on the AM, and a caller said something, and I thought, oh, I don't want to let that go out over the air, so I hit what is called the dump button. And that took him out. But then I got a bunch of texts from people listening on the Internet, and they said, hey, heard everything. So I go to management, and I said, well, what is the liability if somebody comes on my show and it goes over the Internet unscathed? And they said, no problem. There aren't any rules. And I thought, wow.
Well, there you go.
That's pretty interesting.
Sure.
Not thinking someday they're going to actually push me over to the Internet where you can enjoy all the non-rules you want.
That's right.
But here I sit, and I'm going to enjoy that.
Well, why not? And look at where people are calling from. I mean, we're hearing from northern Wisconsin, from Springfield yesterday. You know, this is amazing. And you're trending first or second of all the Internet radio possibilities. That's pretty
well,
darn
Springfield
impressive.
Springfield isn't exactly a get because you can get that on the AM. The AM signal in itself.
Well, unless there are thunderstorms around and then you're covered up by static.
That's true. Thank you.
So, that's right.
All you have to worry about with this is buffering where everything's going and all of a sudden the show starts again.
You know what, Gary?
It stops.
I was driving along yesterday, a couple days ago, and I heard this ad for, I don't know what make a car it is, but they're putting internet radio in, and I thought, there it is.
And it's an affordable car, right?
Yeah. And this
Chevy,
is this
something
is
like that?
Yeah. This is going to, I think it was Cadillac or something. It was, a high-end car. And
but,
I thought to myself, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're going to be all over the place here.
Yeah. In a year, this will look like, should have done it earlier.
Right.
I don't say that to them, but it's going to probably catch up altogether with more listenership.
Look,
and everything.
When you have people calling in from the UK, from Asia, from South America at all, you know, they're going to, it's just amazing. You're reaching out to the world now.
So. Here's how my day kind of started.
Oh, no. Was it bad?
Well, it's a funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
I look at everything now. How much material can I get out of this situation?
Sure.
I might be able to squeeze about 2 minutes out of this one.
Yeah.
So I go to record the opening with Duffy on the 7th floor.
Right.
And I thought, I haven't had one of the fine hot chocolates out of the machine because we don't have a machine on the first floor.
Uh-huh.
So I put the cup in and nothing comes out. So I put it in again and then Judy Pilak walks over and she's looking at the whole thing and I hit the button again and it starts coming out but it hits the rim of the cup and knocks it off the little platform and starts shooting hot chocolate everywhere. The funny part is today I decided to wear the cream colored pants and the suede shoes.
So it's
so
all
now
over.
I got hot chocolate marks all over my pants and on my suede shoes.
And your mother-in-law wasn't here to wipe them off.
And nobody to wipe me.
Well,
somebody,
Gary,
wipe me. Judy, would you wipe me?
See, we're not simulcasting this yet, so it doesn't matter. You can go on looking any way you want. Can wear your bathrobe like Howard Beale.
That's right. Until I get on to CLTV, which is my goal.
Right.
To move on up to CLTV, I'm going to just...
Sure.
My wife came over because I'm rehanging pictures, and she has an eye for that stuff.
Yes, she does.
She kind of got my office up to speed because she came in and she's, why do you have the inflatable life raft in the window? Looks stupid.
Oh, is that gone?
Well, it's behind the door. And she's right because the color didn't match anything, and it did look kind of intrusive there, so looks much better than she rearranged stuff, and it looks sweet.
Now, where is this inflatable life raft from?
Well,
I
have this, that's my ticket out onto the ocean someday. I would be lying on a life raft. One of those inflatable rafts you have in a pool.
I thought maybe you were concerned about sea level rising earlier.
Well, that could happen, too, according to you.
Sure.
And we had it at home, and I thought I'll bring it to work, and I had it on a shelf. It looked kind of okay there on the 7th floor, but when I went downstairs, it didn't really work. Anyway, she came to show me where the picture should go. And
were you already stained?
Yeah. And when I showed her, she said, well, why don't you tell me to bring a pair of pants? And I said, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's a radio. I mean,
right.
Half the people on the AM come in like this every day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You can eat.
I mean, they don't.
You know, drip sauce all over yourself and everything else. But who cares?
That's no big.
And your pass, too.
My what?
Your pass. You didn't know where your pass was.
I lost. Well, I had a building pass, and then I couldn't find it. And I was looking all over it for it. I thought, well, I never lose that. I just put it back in my pocket. So then I lit some incense because I wanted to have a spirit help me find this. And wow. Then I realized I have, in this pair of pants, I have a pocket on top of a pocket. The back pocket zips, and then there's a front pocket that doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I had put it in the front pocket, but I kept sticking my hand in the back pocket.
Wow.
So that was solved.
That would be very confusing.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Next to Ebola, I got real problems. People complaining about Ebola? You got nothing. I got real problems. That's hot chocolate on my cream-colored pants.
Yeah.
Judy Pilex said that machine spewed
yeah,
at
it
you.
Was like, it was... what's her name in The Exorcist?
Yeah.
It just kept coming. And I tried to get the cup back underneath her, and that just spread it out.
It was coming out horizontally.
Well, it didn't want you on the on the seventh floor.
And they've made that pretty clear.
So I hope you got your money back for that, Dave.
No, it's free.
Oh.
For now. I'm surprised we still have free stuff.
Yeah.
But Judy was nice enough to help me mop it all up because it seems like there's not that much liquid.
Until
you look
a lot of liquid.
All over the floor, over the machine. Yeah. So we're mopping it up, but the floor was kind of sticky.
Yeah.
So we wanted to see if we can get somebody to mop it up from the building, and she came down to my office about a half hour later, and she said, you wouldn't believe the paperwork
to get
somebody in the Tribune Tower
cleaned up.
She brought the paperwork down to me, and it's, let's see how many pages. 1, 2, 3, 4 pages to get somebody just to mop up about a 2-square-foot area.
Maybe the hot chocolate cleaner-uppers are on the newspaper side, and so they're not working with us anymore.
They have separated out. It is like two different companies altogether.
I know.
There is no interfacing anymore. It is a big separation for this company.
Yeah, we went through the big email switch and also that we couldn't talk to one. I was having trouble yesterday getting emails out of my system because of whatever they did to break the two of them up. I couldn't send anything, so I was trying to send pictures to my producer, and I couldn't do it.
Property in the boxes, property, Tribune Tower, type, TT cleaning, priority, high, space, floor, general, subtype, spill.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay, so Traffic Central is more separated still. We have our own vacuum, just so you know.
You do?
Wow.
It's the only way we could guarantee could clean the floor in there.
So, Gary, when you spill your potato chips, then we know we go to Leslie.
Yeah, I didn't know she had her own vacuum.
We do.
That's right.
But I'll tell you, I don't know, with these people in West Africa, I got Ebola. Yeah? Well, look at my pants. Yeah.
I got two pockets.
Yeah. I got a zipper pocket, and I couldn't find my key card. I got problems.
And then they made another one for you.
Yeah, I already ordered a new one, so I'm going to keep both of them.
You know, when all you wear is a banana hammock, you don't even have a pocket.
Well,
just a reminder.
312-521-8600. Text and phone number, Tom Skilling. And, Tom, have you been aware of this ice bucket stupidity out there? Have you seen this?
I saw that on Facebook this morning.
What the hell is that? What are they doing?
Well, it's to raise money, right? For, what is it? ALS, right?
But why do you need to dump a bucket of ice over your head? Just write a check. Why does everything have to have a stunt attached to it?
I know. Well, like the polar dip they did for charity and all that. Kind of, although it worked, I guess.
All right, but this one, and you're seeing it everywhere now. Now this is the latest thing. What happened to planking? Is that done?
Can't
we plank?
Yeah.
But is anybody at your station doing it?
Not that I'm aware of. No. But, I heard the ad for Arlington Million. The Arlington people were over here at noon. And they come in with all their chefs. I mean, there must have been 18 chefs over here, and it was amazing the food they bring in here. And then they bring $1 million over because they come up, I guess, with a lineup for the race coming up this weekend, and we broadcast that on the sports segment of the Midday Show. But food was amazing.
It seems like every TV show I've turned on in the last week has somebody doing this ice bucket nonsense.
Ice bucket, yeah. I don't know, Gary.
If somebody approaches you, please don't do it.
I won't.
Is that our promise to each other? We're not going to do that?
I absolutely guarantee you I'm not going to do it. I don't want ice on me.
No. Just write a check if you want to contribute. Why do you have to do something like that?
Yeah.
Well, I got to draw the attention, Then it becomes a viral video.
Yeah.
All right. Go hold a crack baby or something. You got that much energy.
By the way, Gary, has Cliff come over with you to
He's on
WGN FM.
He's on every now and then, but he has the whole month of August off.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got it in his contract.
He's on vacation.
Right, he goes to Europe. But now we're talking about those
things
already in progress. That's on tape.
That's good. Now I feel like we're all together.
That's
you
on
know?
Tape. Yeah.
Oh, I see. That was a tape bit.
Right. Okay. He likes to go to Spain or someplace exotic during the summer.
I know. Cliff is kind of a world traveler.
He really is.
Yeah.
So the weather had started nice. It got cloudy, and now it's nice again.
Yeah, we had a little backdoor front come through, so we're back to north-northeast winds again, and the temps will go down a little bit this evening. Another little high pressure in. A little worried about this weekend. There are going to be some thunderstorms. They'll be in clusters. They won't be the whole weekend, but when they happen, there's enough moisture around. We could have some pretty good water out of these. And, you know, we've got the air and water show and a lot of stuff that goes on the weekend. So that we're going to have to keep an eye on because the timing of that will determine whether or not it interferes with what folks want to do. But we'll see the humidity start coming back Friday. You know, and it's interesting, at the end of next week, some of these models continue to puff up a dome of warm air. Now, we've had some false alarms on this a couple times this weekend because it seems like this summer is determined to stay cool. But if we puff up this dome, that's kind of a warm-looking pattern, although it also looks wet. So there'll be thunderstorms that blow up every now and then with that.
Well, but when you get that kind of unstable atmosphere, Tom, there's always a chance of a thunderstorm.
You are. Listen to this.
Yeah, really. Don't know that by now, then
I'm telling you, Gary, you have picked up. You get you picked up on this weather thing. So,
that's
good
always
for you.
A natural follow-up to hot, humid. Oh, where's
right.
the thunderstorm? There it is.
You got it. And it's. Well, it's good for the gardeners and good for the crops and all. I got a note from a farmer saying that ears of corn are filling up now, so it's at a critical development stage, and how much yield they get out there on the farm depends a lot on whether it rains in a timely fashion in these next couple of weeks. And it looks like it will, so that's good.
I love corn on the cob.
Me too. And tomatoes.
Yeah.
Are you a tomato person?
I do like a nice slice of tomato on a sandwich.
You
or
know,
just a tomato cut up, a little salt on it, huh?
Yeah. You know, tomatoes and corn, there's a meal, in summertime. And Elton, you grow tomatoes, don't you? I've been growing some out in the...
Yeah, in his back hair.
I have potatoes in my ears, but...
His wife has to shovel that out every now and then.
Gee.
He grows tomatoes.
I've never grown
tomatoes. Oh, I thought you said you did. We've got these plants out on the balcony. And, you know, when I used to see people in the city with plants out in the balcony, I thought, what, are they trying to fool themselves that they don't live in the city or something? I've gotten into that. My two roommates take better care of them than I do. They die if you allow, depended on me to water them. But
your thumb isn't exactly green, huh?
No, it's not. I'm not a green thumb, but it's beautiful to have those plants out there. And you lay in bed at night and you hear them blowing in the wind and all. So
you hear them blowing in the wind?
I do. Yeah, and you know that I'm hearing voices in my head, or it's you know.
Maybe you have one of those machines that has different sounds,
right.
So you can go to sleep because you have the tinnitus.
Yeah.
And your ears ring if you don't have some kind of ambient noise in the room.
You know, that's right. That's what that's called, isn't it? I had that ringing a couple weeks ago, but it's gone now. So I don't know what that means.
Were you at a concert or anything?
No. No, I couldn't. I've never had that before, but I thought, this is what I've heard people talking about.
You weren't at Lollapalooza to hear Skrillex, were you?
No, I wasn't.
I watched the video of Skrillex. He's a disc jockey who plays... one of these massively popular guys who goes out and plays to these huge crowds, but he's basically working a couple turntables. Now, I don't know if he really is doing anything besides just pretending. He could just hit a button and all that stuff could be pre-recorded.
Yeah.
But this crowd was jumping and jiving and digging it.
Wow.
And that's what he does, and he makes a fortune.
Isn't that something?
And
remember how we used to queue up our records with those things? Did you ever have one of those turntables in the studio where you hit a little button and it turned on a speaker and you could queue right up to where the music started on the record?
Those of us who started back in the day when they had 12-inch vinyl, that's how you did it.
Sure.
You queued up a record and then you had the next one ready so you could segue one after another.
Right. You hit that button and then the next song would click right in and you sounded like, you know, everything was tight and really running smoothly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was sweet. That was being a disc jockey. But this is a 21st century thing. This is beyond
this has gone
what we
way
did.
Beyond
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. He's not sitting there. Now, some might be old school and have some 12-inch records. I haven't seen that.
Right.
But these guys are doing everything on these very fancy pieces of equipment.
Sure.
and getting the crowd going. Now, I thought, do they record their own music? Is this their music? But they play other people's music, and they get different edits together to get the crowd going, although half the crowd's on Molly. I don't think they need that much encouragement. But it's funny, they showed the front row, and the guy starts, and they're jumping up and down. And then I looked at the clock, about 6 minutes in, the one guy in the front was just, I'm tired. I can't jump up and down anymore. Or is the sound so repetitious that you just, okay, guy played for 90 minutes, or whatever, if you call that playing. I don't know if that's what the term would be. He was there for 90 minutes.
What is that called when they take a music bed from one song and weave it into another song? And that's become pretty popular.
Sampling.
And sampling?
Sampling, yeah.
And mashup.
Yeah, because I heard like Simply Red using the Hall & Oates music bed for... I can't go for that. You know, and that.
Where did you hear that? Why your ears are ringing, Tom.
He was at a rave.
I know. I think that's what happened.
Where they go to an abandoned gas station, and then they have a party, and that's where Tom was one night.
He got a lollipop.
Well, you know, I've always
got himself all juiced up.
What's the legality of that? You know, you take a part of somebody else's song and you put it in your song.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking how these guys operate. Because it's not all stuff they've come up with.
Right. It's other people's stuff, and they're incorporating it within their own. And you would think the way everybody guards, you know, heck, what was that trial for My Sweet Lord? And they said it was the Chiffons, He's So Fine, or something. It sounded like that. And
yeah.
They charged George Harrison with lifting that song. And what was the one recently that they did something?
There's always somebody in Chicago, it seems, that accuses somebody of stealing something they claim they wrote.
Right.
And they always get thrown out of court.
Yeah, and yet you're actually doing this now. You're taking a part of somebody's song and you're putting it in your own. And I wondered how they...
I just wondered if you were at Skrillex and that's why your ears are ringing.
No, it could be. I think they were just ringing naturally, Gary. But they've stopped.
Good, it stopped.
Yeah.
Here's Matt with some tomato trivia.
Oh!
Yeah, Gary, did you know that up until the 1820s, tomatoes were considered poisonous? People thought they wouldn't eat them because they thought they were poisonous.
Really?
All that era. They didn't know anything. They thought the world was flat.
A U.S. senator stood on a Capitol steps.
Tom is dialing out for a lunch order.
No, what we've got going on here, there's a hard disk being replaced in our graphic system. Yeah, so that's all right. So one of our engineers is dialing
out. Tom threw it out when he got body surfed at Skrillex.
Right, that's it.
I thought I got hung up on there.
Not yet.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
So in other words,
in 1810, they didn't have electricity.
Up until the 1820s when it was either a state senator or a U.S. senator, stood on the Capitol steps and proceeded to chow down an entire basket of tomatoes to prove that they weren't poisonous.
Wow.
And then they threw some at him.
Yeah, and then that became an event in Spain.
Because back then they were referred to as love apples or wolf peaches.
Yes. Nice love apples.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Sounds scary, doesn't it?
It does.
By the way, where are these people getting body or corpse size suitcases? That's what I
want.
Wait a minute. Have you seen some of the luggage at O'Hare? I was just there, and people are packing a lot of stuff.
I know.
Well, I mean, they've got to be hauling a steamer trunk to put a body in.
I know. I agree with you. How is that happening all of a sudden?
Yeah, you're not going to. You might be able to get Pepe Le Pew in my luggage because I have very compact luggage. Oh, I dropped Matt there. Got him.
Hold on. I've got 2 degrees of Robin Williams trivia for you.
Here we go.
Two and three.
Okay. That's the voice in Tom's head.
Yeah. No. No.
It's a tomato plant.
There are voices in my head, but that's not them. That's it.
So now Matt's going to tie Robin Williams into tomato plants.
No. But I've got some trivia for you that it's Robin Williams related.
Okay, when will you be presenting that, Matt?
right this second.
I know there are no rules and there are no ratings, but still, you want to kind of keep it moving.
There's an interest level.
Right.
I'm
trending you, mother. You're going to drop my trending.
You're at 27 now.
Yeah. Wait, a guy did, I got to tell you, wait, while Matt's fumbling around for water, he sent me this text. He goes, yeah, you were trending at number, here. The reality on your high trending is your show has no staying power. By 3:30, you're nowhere to be found.
Gee. Oh, how delightful.
Well, thank you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Well, that ain't me. Anyway, Robin Williams, the character that he played in Good Morning Vietnam, okay?
Yeah. Yes, the disc jockey, yeah.
Yeah, it was based on, there was a real Adrian Cronauer.
Yeah, that's a true story, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a true story. Now, here's the trivia. When the real Adrian Cronauer was rotated to his next duty station and he left Saigon, who was the American Forces radio DJ that took over for him?
Oh, wow. Having the funniest.
Okay. Who is it? Who is it, Matt? Well, we'll never know.
Gee.
There is the computer came with me.
I was going to say.
Although I think I should have left it downstairs.
Gee.
Matt, who is it? Come on.
I'll give you a hint.
I don't want a hint.
Think old folks' homes.
What? Old folks' homes?
Okay. Yeah, think senior citizens' homes, nursing homes.
What is he talking about?
That doesn't narrow it down. Matt, come on.
Roy Leonard.
Wait. Bibble. JT, what are you always talking about that they're watching at full volume at nursing homes?
I say Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
Pat Sajak?
Alex Trebek?
Bingo.
Pat Sajak?
Bingo.
That was a long way to go for that.
Wow.
Thank you, Matt. And here's the text chaser.
Uh-huh.
Could you be more of an ass? Really? Hold a crack baby? Yeah. Because these mothers are on crack when they're pregnant, these babies come out shaking and they need people to hold them. I think that's a better thing to do than dumping a bucket of ice over your head. Okay? That's what I meant. Use your energy for something that's got some benefit. I think I'll dump this bucket of ice over my head for a charity. Just write a check, all right? So I can get on YouTube.
You don't want to be viral?
Yeah.
Be viral. You might get viral because you're the shock
I
to your system.
So. I challenge all of the priests at Holy Name Cathedral to do this. They do that. That's what the thing is. It's kind of like a chain letter.
Is that what's going on in churches?
What?
Are you serious?
I'm challenging.
Oh, I thought Cardinal George was throwing a...
Well, I'm challenging them.
Catholics are still pretty old school. They just give you an envelope and say, fill this.
Yeah, put something in that.
It sounds Flieger-like or Flager-like.
Flieger. You know. I challenge Cardinal George to dump a bucket of ice over his head right now for charity.
And turn in your guns.
And that, too. That's Flieger. That's Father Flieger doing his donuts with the Pontiac Trans Am he has, T-tops off in the parking lot.
Hey, does he drive a Trans Am, really?
Picture him. For some reason, he seems like he'd have a T-top car to me.
I see.
That's what I... And English leather cologne. That is what I get when I see him on television.
He's got the Tab Hunter haircut.
He does. Tab Hunter. Okay, you and Matt ought to get together, rub your crew cuts together, whatever you could do, get you off. All right, that's enough for you, Tom.
You're casting me off.
Well, you
Gary.
Got people in your room. And
I know there's something going on here. I'm not
you might
sure
want to find out.
Yeah,
seven,
I may not have a show at 5 o'clock, so I
4-2-7-8.
What's
four,
that?
Two. That's what those guys are saying in the background.
Oh.
4-2-7-8.
See, you're hearing more of it than I am.
Yeah. Why don't you figure out what that all is?
There's like a screen full of it. You know, have you ever watched when one of these hard drives are replaced, all this gobbledygook that comes up that's engineering talk? It tells you whether or not the thing's synced with the system and all. Wow. Yeah.
All right, well, there's something for you to do this afternoon.
That's right. Exactly, Gary.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks,
talk to
Tom.
You tomorrow, Gary.
321-321-521-8600. A text came in. I'd rather hold a crack baby than sit through this trivia.
Oh.
Yeah, I would too. Matt, come on. Bring your game, your A game. Right?
The tomato was a poisonous.
Did you know that in 1510, people thought tomatoes caused cancer? No, I didn't. Didn't care.
Member of the nightshade family.
The what?
Nightshade family.
What's who are they?
It's a type of poison. I want to say that's what I always hear when those people start talking about tomatoes. Used to be thought to be poison. That they're.
I thought this was a joke when I saw this text. Tomato is a member of nightshade family.
And there you go.
And I thought, what the hell's that? Who are they?
The nightshade family.
You were talking about that story. The guy who has been, has he been charged with anything or he's under investigation?
The murder suspect.
The Surrey case.
He is facing murder charges. Okay. Yeah, he's on trial right now.
And the story is that they saw on his phone, because this guy was his roommate, right?
Right.
And was dating his ex-girlfriend. Yeah,
there was some sort of jealousy
he
involved.
Went missing, and then they found his body. Some hunters found his body buried in a shallow grave. So they go to this guy, and they find that he used his phone flashlight function a number of times.
Right.
Between 11:31 p.m. and midnight 01 on the day that the guy disappeared. So you got that. And then the Siri stuff that you reported in your newscast. He asked Siri where he could bury somebody. I need to hide my roommate. Siri responded, what kind of place are you looking for? And then she offered four options: swamps, reservoirs, metal foundries, and dumps. Well, she is pretty good.
And what did he pick?
A forest.
Oh, okay.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. I think prosecutors are barking up the wrong tree with that whole line.
That?
Because when Siri first came out, that was the running joke. All the people would say, you know what you could do? You can ask her to find a place to hide a body. And that was the go-to that everybody, the first time you used Siri, would ask, Siri, where can I hide a body? And she would give you answers. And I want to say that they've changed, that her tune has changed subsequently. But it wouldn't be uncommon for anybody with an iPhone to, at one point or another, ask Siri where to hide a body.
Okay, well.
Now, the flashlight thing.
The flashlight thing, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
The police say that this guy was using the phone's flashlight function to hide the body in the woods and say that location data gathered from the smartphone doesn't fit with his account of his movements that evening.
Mm. They can and tell they, where they can the track flashlight, your, even the, where he had his flashlight on, they can tell?
The time sequence?
I think Apple can find out all sorts
of
things about you.
Ken Rakowski, who does that rock star show.
Oh, right. He was saying.
Business Rock Stars on this station came in one day and gave out some frightening information about what your smartphone can do
while you are unaware of
what it's doing.
Especially if you have a camera option. It'll even take pictures of you.
And you don't know it.
No.
Yeah. Where is this case? Where is this? Florida.
I want to say it's Florida.
Florida,
yeah. But, yeah, the rest of that stuff, cool. But I think the whole Siri line is kind of barking up the wrong tree.
All right.
The flashlight probably.
Says the woman who's asked Siri, yeah. Where can I hide a body?
You have asked your Siri that, just for this
you know,
part of it.
Hang on. I'll be right back. I'm going to go get my phone and let's ask her.
Thank you.
Well, at least she comes up with some nice options.
That is interesting.
And why would you program her to answer that question?
Yeah, that would have that.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Eric Childress returns to review three movies, The Expendables 3, Dinosaur 13, and The Giver. The Expendables movie with all those action stars.
Sylvester Stallone hauls out all the, Von Damme.
Why is Kelsey Grammer in there? Was he an action star? He's part of it.
Yeah, he's in there, but I don't. He wasn't an action star, certainly.
But he's part of it.
Yeah, he's in there.
He's been in X-Men.
He's been in X-Men though. He was like a villain, so maybe.
No, he's a good guy.
Oh, is he a good guy?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's how he got into this. All right.
He's beast.
You have your Siri.
Siri, where can I hide a body?
Okay.
What again?
Oh, how many times have you asked?
Okay. Leslie, we need to have a discussion about your behavior. Again? How many times are you going to bury that body?
Jeez.
She is proper.
What?
Punctuation and everything, even.
So, can you get her to say something?
Siri, where can I hide a body?
I used to know the answer to this.
I used to know the answer to this.
You took it off?
Yeah.
She's got Alzheimer's.
But why would they have it in there in the first place?
Because it was a fun thing. She'll answer any question. My daughter has got her phone, like, program now that Siri refers to her as Zool.
Oh, jeez. From Ghostbusters?
Yes. Siri, what's my name? I call you Zool.
Wow. I'm wondering if they're going to have to go through and take out all of the stuff that might be used.
Questionable.
In cases like this one, where Apple would be on the line for it. I wonder if they have any liability in this case.
Oh, like they could actually be
an accessory.
Like a co-conspirator.
Well, why would they take it out? I mean, if they're not worried about it, they can just leave it in there.
Yeah. But
or
in the meantime,
why did you put it in the first place? Because you weren't worried about anything.
This guy didn't follow Siri's directions anyway.
Because he picked a forest.
He picked a forest. She said, what, swamp, reservoir, dump, and a metal foundry?
Metal foundry.
Oh, that's a good one.
I was thinking.
Good for Siri.
Acid plant.
She's a little demented.
We had it all. Just like Bobby in the car. Starring in a room. Last night, Alison Rosati came on about 9:45, and we've lost another Hollywood legend coming on the heels of Robin Williams, and I thought, okay.
Who is this?
I'm not going to wait till 10 o'clock. I want to know now. So you go to the internet, and it's Lauren Bacall, and I'm thinking she's got to be at least 90-something. She's 89.
Yeah.
So that was no big shocker, but they tried to do a whole, we're two-thirds into a trilogy, in case you're interested.
Oh, doesn't James Garner count?
Remember? I thought he was attached to somebody else.
Oh, was he? Oh, okay. I mean, does anybody really, I mean, I bet you anybody under 30 doesn't even know who Lauren Bacall is.
No. And I thought it was funny, though, that they tried to get on some kind of wave of Robin Williams' death by throwing Lauren Bacall on top of it. The way she looked so serious, too, I thought, oh, who is this?
Right.
Unless it's Julia Roberts, I don't know if this is going to have a big punch for me.
And then Lauren Bacall, of all people.
So I didn't want to wait, and I was glad I didn't.
You know how to whistle, don't you? Just, you know, that's a famous line that Bogey said to her. Just put your lips together and blow.
Did he have wooden teeth?
Bogey?
One of those guys, Clark Gable or one of those guys from that era, I thought he had wooden teeth.
Oh, I don't know.
He had something wrong. His mouth didn't.
Well, he did have a weird, I don't know, that's a good point. Did he have? He certainly lisped.
More than a week after Lollapalooza, two mud-sloped fields in Grant Park remain closed for repair work starting today. The price tag for the post-fest repairs, $266,000. Because of rain during the fest, concertgoers left the turf fields torn up at the southern end of Grant Park.
It seems to be, that's just the cost of doing business, though, right, at this point?
The promoter has insurance, so I'm sure that's covered. 3 years ago, it cost $800,000 to repair Grant Park after 3 inches of rain. And I remember they had to replace, I think, all of the sod,
right.
All of the grass with sod on both ends.
So this was nothing. $250?
But I'm wondering, is this right where you have a public park that's used for a private event?
Oh, so you're anti-Lala now.
I'm not really. I like the fact that this is an event that really gets a lot of attention for Chicago.
Worldwide.
It's handled well because it's not handled by the city, and I'm sure it brings a lot of revenue. If you were walking around during that weekend, a lot of people milling around those 3 days and maybe before and after if they came in early and stayed late. So it does have some financial impact, although we still seem to be in debt no matter how much extra we do.
What if we didn't have Lollapalooza?
You got to wonder. But it is a public park, and you're using it for a private event. That's the rub. I keep
thinking, but we're getting money from it, though, so the public is benefiting.
But as far as it's closed for several days before, during, and then after, in this case.
And there's damage.
What about that northerly island? Is that not sufficient? Is that not big enough to do something like this? Because, first of all, it doesn't shut down any streets if you do it over there, and it's on the lakefront, even a better location, I would think.
I don't know why they've just let that languish.
They are doing something over there.
But it's still not...
I don't know what.
But it's bike paths and wild grass. And
they do that one concert series
on
the one end, but that doesn't take up much space. If you've been over there, it's a lot bigger than you think from afar. You think, but it was a runway, and it has to have some kind of length and width and all that. And there is a lot of space over there that you can't really tell until you get right over there. Now, after the George Lucas Stuart goes up, I'm sure there will be other things that could be fun to do. I don't know what they're going to be.
But he's not by Norderly, is he?
Yeah, it's over there. It's in the same quadrant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's nearby. Is that still on?
Haven't heard much about that at all anymore.
I think it has to be approved.
Are they breaking ground, or what are they doing?
I bet you they Is he trying to get financing for the dollar he spent on the land?
He's spreading it over 30 years.
So anyway, that section, not that I don't know. Grant Park, to me, never seems like it's 100% up to snuff. If you go through there, you look around and go...
But what is it? It's not Central Park. You know what I mean?
I know, but...
There's nothing there, really.
Section that they're redoing, Maggie Daly Park, because what do you do for a mayor who's... screwed the city up, you'd name a park after his wife. Yeah. That seems to have some dimension to it. They're putting stuff in that is not just grass and a walkway. So maybe that's a start.
But Grant Park doesn't really have any kind of interesting...
Buckingham Fountain is really
the
best part of it.
Right, but I mean, park itself...
There's nothing really there.
No. I mean, what do you throw a frisbee around, or what are you going to do?
That's what you usually see people doing.
It's not like Central Park where it has these little areas that you can walk into, and it's almost like a forest, and then there's a little lake, and then there's a reservoir.
Massive.
Yeah,
you could fit a number of Grant Parks into Central Park.
But it's got personality. It's multi-dimensional. That's just a big square block, right?
And they have the softball fields at the southern end. And unless you play softball, that's really nothing. So that's just a bunch of dirt. But just in the upkeep, I know they have some decent flower beds and things, but the lawn never really looks like it's taken care of properly.
Well, it's a good old park district. They can even do that at Soldier Field.
Right.
So what do you expect Grant Park to look like?
If they can't keep the sod healthy for the Bears, what are the rest of us going to expect?
Plus, they probably complain because every August they have to replant some sod after Lollapalooza, so it doesn't really get a chance to really take hold.
That's right. I want that artificial turf everywhere. I saw it in New York last week again.
Where did you see it?
In the Hamptons at this restaurant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was. Wow, that looks nice. Oh, it's artificial. It will always look nice. Plus, with the water issue, which is just going to be a bigger issue everywhere, let's just get ahead of it. We don't have to water it. Always looks nice. You could have as many Lollapaloozas as you want on it.
Right. You wouldn't have to worry about rain.
Shouldn't have any wear and tear, right? I think it can sustain that. And plus, with these people jumping up and down during Skrillex, they'll just keep it tamped down.
Well, and they said, I mean, every year it does seem like at least one day it rains and it becomes a mud field and people are drenched and muddy. And so that can't be fun.
Artificial turf. It would always look nice. And you wouldn't have to cut it, water it, anything. No weeds.
My high school put that in the back of the school where they have their football field where they practice. Looks amazing. And now?
That guy I had on the air a few weeks back.
Right.
What was it, RugZoom? Is that the name of his company who does the artificial turf?
Something like
that. Ask Craig if he can get that number. Maybe I can call this guy up and he can get ahead of it and get some artificial turf at Grant Park.
Put a bid up there.
Yeah. Get in on this. Because this is going to keep happening. Lollapalooza's in August, thunderstorms in August, same thing every other year.
And didn't they just sign an extended contract for Lollapalooza for many years?
Did they?
I think so. So it's not like we're still kind of figure out that we like it. Lollapalooza likes having it in Chicago. So,
well, if you're a major city and you're giving your high-end park to somebody, I think I'd like it too. Maybe these guys went to other cities and they said, you want to do what in our main section of town?
Right in downtown.
Right. I don't think so.
But that is quite a feather in our cap, because I've got friends that live from out of state who flew in just for the 3 days.
When we were in Los Angeles, a woman that was working at the hotel, when she heard we're from Chicago, she said, oh, this was Friday. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow morning to go to Lollapalooza.
From L.A.
Yeah. There's no doubt that this thing is good for us. And then when I was listening to the concert on satellite radio, I mean, it sounded like a big deal.
Well, you're getting into alt-rock now.
I am.
Oh, was it now punk?
No, wait. Last night
punk
when I
pop
played...
Punk pop or something? Death pop?
Wait. Hey, Creed, can you play a little orgy for me?
Oh.
And I played a little of this song at the end. I can't play full songs anymore. But I played a little of this, and...
It's here.
Whoa.
I like it, and I... Though they didn't play at Lollapalooza, but this kind of music is the genre. And then when I was playing it, Aaron said, oh, you're into
death
punk. And it's not. It's called
death pop.
Death pop. I'm into death pop.
Cool.
This is Orgy, and it's Blue Monday,
Blue
right?
Blue Monday.
Yeah.
And it's not the remake of the Foreigner song.
No, they had one called Blue Monday, too, right. And I'm lying on the deck of this house, and it's a surf community, so you got these guys, and I do like this look. I don't imagine I could pull it off. They've got the wetsuit rolled down to their waist, and they're carrying their surfboard to the ocean, and I'm listening to Blue Orgy. I'm sorry, Orgy, Blue Monday.
Right.
And it all fit. It won't put itself together the same way in the Midwest. But I'll tell you what.
It was your own Baywatch montage of guys on the surfboard.
Well, I don't know. That's a pretty cool thing to do. There's some... Here it comes.
How does it feel to treat me like you?
So you were just sipping, what? You were sitting there on your deck chair?
With an Arnold Palmer.
With your Arnold Palmer just rocking out to a little
watching
orgy.
These guys go surf. I wish I could surf. These guys are studs.
How do you do this?
I don't know.
Doesn't that seem amazing?
And they were getting the waves that were the aftermath of that hurricane.
Oh,
that
wow.
Rolled up there. So they had some pretty good waves, but there's no way.
How do you stand on a wet board? Where's the friction? I don't understand how people
they
surf.
They do it, and they ride it all the way in.
Yeah.
These guys that are really good.
Oh, and when we go to Santa Monica, sometimes I wake up way early in the morning and just walk the beach at like, you know, 5, 6 in the morning. And those guys are out there, with like you're saying, with those full body suits.
Yeah, it's a cool look.
It's
I've always
cool.
liked, even when I was in high school, they had this movie called The Endless Summer.
Yeah.
It was a surfing movie.
I remember that.
Famous surfing movie.
Yeah.
So I got the poster, if you know the famous poster, it's still out there today. Kind of a day glow pink.
Right.
I had it on the back of my bedroom door.
With the surf.
And maybe it's because... Living in Chicago, I would watch these shows where the action is, and they'd be on the beach,
right.
Paul Revere and the Raiders, and there'd be surfers back there, and I thought, wow, it's January. Look at that. And maybe I got a little intoxicated by it.
Well, that's why you had the blow-up raft in your office.
I got the blow-up raft in my office, and I have these posters that are very nicely framed.
Right. Those are cool,
all
different
of surf.
Of waves.
Surf and surfers.
Yeah.
I'll never probably do it, but I do like having my mind.
Did you ever try?
There. No.
I just don't see how it's possible.
Well, it is.
And now everybody does that thing where they stand on it. And they have
the paddleboard.
A paddle.
I saw some paddleboarders
out really?
There. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the big thing now. So maybe I don't know if you need as much, athletic ability to do that. Because that seems pretty innocuous.
Really? Yeah, because this guy, I was watching him, he was some of these big waves, and he would just roll over that.
On with the paddle?
On the paddleboard.
Oh.
Yeah, and he was far out there.
Man.
And I was thinking, as I'm looking at all this going on, there must have been 50 surfers out there, and they do have lifeguards. Now, the lifeguard perch is about 40 yards from the end of the water, right? And now the surfers are And how do you see anything? I'd see the lifeguard run down there and blow his whistle, so he saw something, and I'm looking. I had binoculars because I wanted to see what was going on.
Oh, wow.
Got to carry binoculars.
You were serious.
I wanted to see. And I was thinking, and there's this mist blowing up. How does he see anything? How does he save anybody?
He's a professional, Gary.
That's I what guess. He, that's what he they does. Must be.
They're trained.
Trained to look at something that I can't see.
You just think he's sitting in a chair.
Right.
It's so much
looking
deeper
looking
at
than that. Women in bikinis.
Yes.
But he saw something.
Beach. A lot of people on the beach?
It was beautiful. It was about 85.
Wow.
Yeah. But then the funny thing is, the tide comes up. So my family that I was with, my wife's family.
The other family you were with?
The other family I was with.
Which family did you take this time?
No, my wife's family.
The second family?
My wife's family was there.
Okay, Charles Corral.
Yeah, get out. No, it's a legit family. It's the one that everybody knows about.
Okay.
They knew that the tide came up in the middle of the afternoon, so they kept the chairs and everything back, but some people didn't know.
Oh.
So they're all set up, and that thing comes in, and, oh, my phone! I heard that.
Oh, no.
My phone!
Oh,
it's ruined!
Oh, man.
And then my daughter and some other family members, they dug a trench about 3 feet out so the water would collect in the trench, and they had a whole irrigation thing
going.
Oh, my
goodness.
Oh, yeah.
This is a whole thing.
And then there's a picture. They showed me this picture afterwards. Here I am sitting.
Oh, God.
I'm on my phone under the umbrella, and my daughter and
under the umbrella.
And there's another digging a trench, and I'm on the phone just sitting there under the umbrella.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a nice – I was going to my daughter. All right, yeah, about 2 more feet. You should have it.
Well, okay. You're the foreman.
You got it. Somebody has to manage.
You didn't have a big floppy hat on, but you had the umbrella.
You put wax on a surfboard for friction. That's what sticks you to the surfboard.
I would think wax is sticky or is slippery, isn't
no,
it?
No, not this wax.
Oh, okay.
That song is a remake. Who did it first? See, I don't know enough about death pop. I got to learn. Who did Blue Monday first?
Foreigner.
No, it's a different one. How does it feel?
So where were you hearing this music?
On satellite.
But where did you have a radio? They, like where
they had
was this
house had speakers outside, so they just turned on that channel.
Oh,
alt rock.
So are you
lithium.
On a deck or are you on the?
I'm on the deck.
Oh, you're not in the sand.
No. Well, one day I was on the deck.
Oh, okay, that's when you were rocking out.
That's when I was rocking out. Okay. Then I went down to the beach.
So you actually went out. Okay.
Yeah. Who did the original here, Aaron? On my death pop.
Yeah, it's Blue Monday by New Order.
Oh, New Order did it.
Yeah.
Oh,
can you find their version?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
I remember that song by New Order now, Blue Monday.
Yeah, but Orgy's done a remake. That's my Orgy version. 312-521-8600. Okay, have I solved any problems in the first hour and 17 minutes?
Not really. But you didn't.
No, I
really...
will. Oh, I will.
Oh,
look, I'm just
you didn't
getting...
really confront any
I'm
real
I'm just
problems.
Getting warmed up.
You didn't really confront any real problems, except for the ice bucket phenomena.
So then I, what's that? Somebody say something?
No.
We have the original? Okay, let it rip. How old is this one?
80s.
Is
it? 80s, yeah. New Order. About 82.
I guess if I was listening to XRT back then,
yeah,
I would have known.
That's where you would have heard it,
yeah.
Definitely. They are one of the first, you know, kind of like synthesizer bands. They're known as the forerunners of the... You know, the synthesizer.
Did their lead singer have lipstick? Is that who I'm thinking of?
All those bands in the 80s wore
yeah.
lipstick.
There was one I remember, had guy had lipstick and his hair
well, they
way up.
It. I was,
yeah,
remember
that doesn't
the
narrow
of
it down.
Seagulls and
might have
the
been.
Cult. Boy George, obviously.
Kaja Gugu. Kaja Gugu.
Shy.
Yeah. I like the Orgy version.
Yeah, it's a little harder. This is a little
let's
more.
Hear let's hear them sing. Yeah, this is when you're in the abandoned gas station with
right.
Tom Skilling.
No, this is definitely the
right. You're juked up on
Molly.
On Molly and Red Bull.
Right.
And your heart's going about 1,000 beats a minute.
Now, when did ecstasy become Molly?
Man, you got to be with the kids
I guess.
To get the terms.
Yeah. No, I don't think
they have
this...
a longer intro.
Yeah.
Plus.
You see, this wasn't known as death pop
no.
back in the 80s.
I like the Orgy version.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't? Orgy version.
Do you remember New Order, Leslie? Were you a New Order
remember
fan?
New Order.
Were you Classic Order?
Joy Division.
Oh, New Joy Order? Division and
oh, here we go.
Psychedelic Furs and all those. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm Terry Hemmert. And Breakfast with the Beatles coming up.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Who was the lead singer for New Order? I want to see if he had lipstick. I think I saw that guy in concert.
That was The Cure.
The Cure. That's the guy.
Robert Smith.
That's the guy.
Robert Smith.
Yeah. He had lipstick and makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
Friday, I'm in love.
Friday.
I think that was somebody else.
No, that was The Cure.
No, who did the Friday. That was that little 13-year-old girl.
Came out in 1987. Bibble is an Idiot. Said...
I said the 80s.
You said the 80s.
Jesus.
That includes from 80 to 89.
Bibble's an Idiot.
That's the guy who said that I trend at number 3 at 3 by 3:30. Where am I trending right now? Let me trend my... let me get my trend.
I wouldn't mind if I said that was from 1947.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez.
Yeah, that guy's... He likes to do that.
Whatever.
You're thinking of the Smiths.
No, that's Morrissey. Robert Smith had... has the bad hair with
he had the lipstick.
Yeah, definitely.
What was the song?
Friday, I'm in love.
Friday, I'm in love.
Because you were doing the Rebecca Black version there for a moment. Yeah.
This was their big, like, pop. This was their sellout song, though, actually. Because they were very moody in the 80s, you know. But this was their sellout song.
Now I want to hear some Tears for Fears and stuff, too.
Let's hear what happened there.
Well, this is just a... I just played the musical version. I can get the whole thing if you want.
Yeah. That's the big payoff, isn't it? Friday, I'm in love. That was my lipstick. That's cool.
Yeah, but your mascara is running.
And the sad part is, you know, they've come back on tour now, and he's still doing that look, and he looks like a really bad drag queen now because he's, like, kind of chubby, and it's not a good look.
Yeah, stay in fit if you're going to go on tour. The Cure.
The Cure.
The guy with the lipstick singing. And this song is 25 years old at least, right?
Oh, easily. I mean, late 80s. I hate to say the official time because I'll get pimped on it, but it was certainly late 80s, early 90s.
Everything's 20 years ago, I've noticed. That's about 20 years ago.
Everything is 25 years
ago. Well, now that I'm into death pop, I Wikipedia'd Orgy.
Yeah.
Orgy is an American synth rock band formed in... 94 from Los Angeles. Orgy described their music as death pop.
There you go.
In 98, Orgy released their debut album, Candy Ass, the name inspired by a drag queen they had met, selling almost 2 million copies.
Wow.
The album produced two singles, a cover of the New Order song Blue Monday and Stitches. The song Revival featured Jonathan Davis of Korn. And now on with the countdown.
Okay, Casey. Ponderous, man. Ponderous.
Orgy made their live debut at Edgefest, an annual radio show in Tulsa, in 98. They also appeared on the Family Values Tour with Korn, Limp Bizkit, Ice Cube, Incubus, and Rammstein.
Oh, wow, Rammstein. That's heavy.
Their second album, the science fiction-themed Vapor Transmission, was released in 2000 with Fiction and Opticon as singles. All right, so now I know I'm into death rock.
And you know
pop.
What? Just to give my musical knowledge validation, I just looked it up. Blue Monday by New Order was 1983. Thank you very much.
You said
not
the
1980s. Yeah, but 1987, like the other guy that said I was an idiot, he was off by 4 years. I said 82, 83.
Okay.
So he's an idiot.
Don't worry about it. He's the one that said it by 3:30. I'm not even on the trending list of 100,000.
Because I was spinning Blue Monday over at WRSC at Elbers College.
That's the radio station that went into the dormitory.
Right. Well, no, it went around.
Oh, yeah, it went around.
About a good 15 miles.
Sure it did.
It did.
That's what they told you. They always tell you that at these college radio stations.
Oh,
we have coverage in a probably a 5-square-mile area.
Yeah.
Then you realize it's just plugged into the dorm.
And then every time, and every year, they would say, we're going to go up to 100 watts.
I got a light bulb that does more than that.
Didn't happen in my time. I still don't think it's happened.
A reporter burst into tears while reporting the Kurdish deaths as a result of the ISIS invasion. I watched the video of this, and they've got the anchor, the guy at the studio anchoring, and he's listening to this reporter out in the field. They don't show the reporter, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm listening, and then the reporter does start crying, and then the anchor guy starts crying.
Oh, so first the guy in the field starts crying.
You can't see him. They just have his audio. Oh, and then the reporter, the anchor, the reporter starts crying, the anchor starts crying on camera.
Are these men or women?
Men.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oofa. That's not right. And what happened? Kurds got killed?
Yeah.
I didn't hear.
Well, this whole ISIS deal.
Yeah, I mean. It's,
is this the group, did I see this, where they took over a town and they're doing donuts in the tanks in the parking lot?
Probably.
They're doing donuts. They're in the tanks and just spinning them around.
Probably.
Woohoo!
Well, do you see they come driving in like SUVs? Where are they getting these cars? They come in like this big, long trailer.
I'm sure like they get everything. They take over a car dealer and then take everything.
It seems so crazy.
And is there a service? I believe Indiana has the largest van conversion companies. They're all centered there for some reason. I think I remember that correctly. Is there, and they must make a fortune in these goofy countries, where they can attach a gun to the back of a Jeep or something? Because I don't imagine these guys can do that well. Or does that come out from the factory? All right, here's what I want. I want
special order.
I want satellite radio. And I want a big ass gun attached to the back as an accessory.
Yeah, with that sort of turn.
Yeah,
yeah.
They have to have, somebody's got to be putting those in, installed somewhere.
Probably the Russians.
Because they all have them. And I was reminded of it from Black Hawk Down, the movie I watched again the other day. And all those guys had the gun, and then they got a shield, and they sit there, and they're just rat a tat tatting all over town. Just banging the crap out of everything, ruining everything.
Well, it's crazy when you look at, especially now when you see this footage of these people that are, you know, dominating lands and going, and then you look at the footage from like World War II. It's so funny because there was like a uniform look. There were tanks, there were guys in uniforms, and now there's like guys in SUVs and flannel shirts.
Well, that's what they pretty much highlighted in Black Hawk Down, these idiots would have townspeople surrounding them.
Yeah.
So there are kids and women, and they're all, you're right, they're dressed it's stuff we put in our Goodwill box.
Exactly.
They end up wearing, and you don't know who's the bad guy.
That's what I mean. There was a time when you could see, okay, the army's coming in. It's not just some crazy guy
in
an SUV.
You got a uniform. Yeah. We need a uniform. We need to know who to kill.
Yeah. Well, and they were saying that, you know, Israel has been getting a lot of flack because they've been fighting back with these Hamas bombs. And like the guy from Israel said, you were talking about these human shields. He goes, well, Hamas is putting themselves in schools.
Right, that's where they put their stuff.
So how can we not have, there has to be some, they're doing this on purpose. You blame them for being insidious to say we're going to use human shields. Don't blame us. It's, I don't know.
If I want, let me ask the audience, if I want to get a big gun attached to the back of my Jeep, where do I go? 312-521-8600.
What is it going to cost for me to get a big gun on the back of my...
How long is that going to take to install?
No ups, no extras.
And they're all sitting on the back, going into town.
Yeah, there's this big caravan of these white SUVs.
You get up every day, shower, you plan your day. This is their day. You get up, going to get on the back of that Jeep and just shoot stuff. Take over a town, have a light lunch, and then drive some people into the mountains and starve them to death.
Pillage.
That's our day.
Things to do.
You got nothing better to do.
And then isn't this weekend the air and water?
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, when you see those blue angels, maybe 50 feet above your head, depending on where you are, I tear up because, they're killing machines, although they don't want to be portrayed as that.
No.
I know. They're just doing stunts.
They're entertainment planes.
But I'm glad we got that stuff. And I'm thinking when I hear these jets screaming overhead, they're just using the day as a nice little demonstration. Right. Imagine if they're coming after you.
With stuff on them.
Yeah, yeah, firing at you.
With artillery.
That's some honking hardware we have.
Now, do they, when they fly, is that full blast? Like, are they flying as if they would be flying? You know what I mean?
I think so.
As they would be if they were attacking?
I can't tell you for sure. I'm sure one of our local anchormen will take a ride with them and they'll report on that.
Because I've never seen that in person. Is it really loud?
Oh, yeah. First of all, you have seen it because they rehearse.
Well, I understand that, but
beforehand.
I haven't been on the beach when it's actually flying over your head.
It's honking loud, crazy, cool.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments was standing where the staging area is. Because BBM does all, they have everything now, don't they? They've just about taken everything.
Yeah, they've got the Cubs.
Cubs, Bears, Sox on their sister station. So they're taking everything. Anyway, they do the air and water show. So I managed to finagle while I was working at this radio station, another radio station, because the guy who was running the place was our former boss. So he reluctantly let me stand up on their platform.
Oh.
And so they're coming across from the other side of the lake, and you can just see some smoke or whatever, and then they, and then they're there, and it's the coolest thing you can imagine.
I used to work on an office that was at 900 Michigan up on the 40th floor, so we would see them when they were practicing over the lake, on Friday, and our whole building would shake.
Yeah, and then, like I said, when I went to the Rockford Air Show, these pilots are studs.
Yeah, well,
they got the 15-inch waist, and they're in those jumpsuits and the hat. And they got the good posture.
And the good sunglasses.
Oh, studs.
The nice hair.
And those planes are parked right there. See, the beauty of the Rockford Air Show, you're much closer than you're ever going to get at the air show here.
Can you go up to the plane?
No, but you're a lot closer there. Right. You can see them parked there and everything.
Right.
And they all take off from there, and that's a lot better, I think.
Because here they just fly over.
Oh, yeah. They're in Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
Like there's another Gary. I hate that.
Oh, the one in Indiana?
I'm sorry.
I thought they came to one from Pennsylvania.
Well, when that's a guy's name like mine, you got to clarify. It's in Gary. That could mean something else to other people. Wes?
Hey, Gary West from South Bend.
There he is.
Hey, they misspelled the town of Gary. It's only got one R.
That's right.
I'm sure you know
trying
that.
To get that changed, so.
Yeah, we're going to petition the governor, whatever it takes. But, hey, you were talking, I don't know how long is the delay technically or whatever on this. You were talking about the military vehicles being made in Indiana.
Yeah, I think it's about a 90-second delay before you hear it, but you're still on topic.
Okay, well, yeah, I didn't want to make sure I was off topic. I mean, hey, we talked about that 3 hours ago. Oh, all right.
And it doesn't matter, to be honest with you.
Free form.
So, I got, well, as far as I can tell, I got six solid callers. You, Matt, the trivia guy,
Jill, the mail horse, Joe,
and two other people that I know of.
Well, I got to get on this whack pack thing for the next remote, man. Okay. I want in.
All right.
Anyhow, you were talking about the RVs, and that's Elkhart, Indiana, is the motherland of the Holy Grail of RVs and van conversions. And my wife's worked in the industry for about 20 years, and she's still in it, and they're booming. I don't know how with the economy, but
why? Why did that area end up being the mecca for all that stuff? Tax breaks or something?
No, it just, from what I gather, the one guy that came with the idea about, hey, you know, like 1974, says, hey, I'm going to take this van and make it cool and do whatever, was from Elkhart, and other people kind of branched off of that, and it just all started there and kind of still there.
And that's why you would see these women warriors in the breastplate with the sword on every van.
Yeah, or your big heart-shaped window in the back or whatever. Yeah,
sweet.
Exactly. That was all here. But the military vehicles, Mishawaka, Indiana, which is our neighboring city, I mean, it's like driving, you know, from Hoffman Estates to the next one over. You never even know you crossed the line. But anyhow, AM General makes the Humvee, the Hummers.
Mm-hmm.
Military vehicles right here, really cool vehicles. They don't equip them with all the guns and everything here, but when they come off the line, ordered by the government, they're ready to go to the next facility via the military to just have a gun bolted on. I mean, all the accoutrements are there to make it work and all that.
Well, if Black Hawk Down is true to form or had the facts or whatever, those vehicles that they're driving around that Somalia area, they didn't take the bullets very well. I mean, there's glass blowing out and bullets going through the door. Those things should be solid. You can't get anything in there. Bulletproof glass, everything, right?
Well, and that could be what my father-in-law used to work there in their parts depot, and he was telling me that when they come out of Mishawaka here, they're not armor-plated or protected or whatever you want to call it. They went to a facility in Ohio and got armor decked out. I mean, you know, for the, what do they call them, IUD or whatever, the bump road type.
An IUD.
Yeah.
I like to have an IUD installed.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry, whatever the hell. Yeah, that's something else. That's a different topic.
It's on the other show on this station. With the proctologist.
Yeah, you, Elton, Jim. But anyhow, they get upfitted, and then they can withstand more of the blast protection, but they don't do that here.
I'm talking about these other countries where they can get a honking gun put on the back of a Jeep or some other vehicle. Right. They just seem to have some facility over there.
Yeah, where's their upfitters? I mean, it's Muji Burn Associates. Where are they getting stuff?
There must be. Maybe there's an area like Iran became the mecca of that.
Yeah, like the RVs here, they've got Kill Everybody Upfitters over there, I guess. I don't know where they're getting it either. It's kind of perplexing.
All right, Wes. But
anyhow, I just want to check in and give you those fun facts, so enjoy.
Thank you, Wes.
All right, buddy. Take care.
And my other regular caller, thank God, Dave Novotny, master sculptor.
Gary, I want to tell you a little story about one of my old machines that I was selling. Well, I had it posted on eBay, and I had a couple guys from Israel, the Israel area, that were interested in buying it. And you'd be amazed at how much stuff they actually make out there. I mean, Israel, you know, they're one of the top producers of metal carbides, machine tooling for the machine tool industry.
Really?
And, you know, a lot of those people, they may live in mud huts, but they weld and they manufacture and they do all of that stuff out there.
Well, that must be how it all comes together. That's how you get a gun in the back of your vehicle.
That's it. All you got to do is just build a simple tripod out of steel and just mount it right up to it. Not a big deal.
Yeah, because that's what you do. I couldn't do it.
No, yeah, you could. I mean, well, we can teach you, Gary. Come on now.
Yeah.
You want to spend two 40-hour weeks over at my shop?
Over by there?
Teach you and Jim both how to weld.
Could do a remote.
Hey,
we could do a remote welding training program. There you go.
Yeah, those big helmets and masks and.
You got to remember now. You know, I did teach welding for over 13 years, so we can certainly do that.
I appreciate a good weld. I like when it's nice and smooth and things.
Yeah, and that's what I used to try to teach everybody, lay that bead. You know, the bead, the appearance will always represent the, the quality of the weld. So the better the appearance, the more quality the weld is. So.
How are the mini crucifixes coming?
They're coming.
Good.
So we're working on them.
Good.
I meant to tell you, too, yesterday, I didn't mean I left Scott Stannis a message. I left you a message that we could do something for Scott Stannis' thing that he does.
I like that. I like kicking it up a notch, giving away Dave Novotny stuff for the cartoon caption contest, which is now just once a month.
Yep, we can do a couple of Chicago Skylines. We could do some coffee cup clocks. I mean, you name it, we can do it. Also, did you get my message about the incense?
Yes, you're going to get me some incense.
Oh, Gary, wait till you see the incense that I can get for you.
Really?
I mean, just hold tight. Don't buy any more. I'll load you up. I'll load you up for 5 years.
I'm glad you said that, because when I was in the Hamptons last week, there was one of those kind of hippy-dippy stores. They have them everywhere. Of course, the surf community. And they had a whole wall full of incense. And I thought, well, maybe I should start stocking up. And I thought, if I put it in my luggage and shut it, it'll snap every one of those little things. So I'm glad to hear you're going to be my incense junkie.
Yeah, there's a lady at the Odeum in Villa Park that we do that fine art, fine craft show. She does a lot of hand clay dragons and wizards, and then I've got a dragon hanging on my office wall that you actually put the incense in its mouth and you light it.
Nice.
And the smoke comes out the nostrils and the teeth.
Oh, I like that.
Which is kind of cool. But hey, also, you're in the Hamptons. I've got friends that actually have a house out there.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, a mansion.
Yeah, it's a high-line area.
Remember we talked about the people who own Hostess to Twinkies now?
Yes.
Yeah, they got a big mansion out there.
Yeah, that's about the kind of people that can afford that, too.
Oh, yes. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That's Twinkie money.
That's living on Twinkie money.
Twinkie money. That's all right. I wish I had some of that Twinkie money.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Dave, keep me posted, and I will let you know what we're going to use for the cartoon contest as far as prizes.
We'll figure it out.
Heading into Blackhawks season, and even though I'm not...
Whoa.
Well, I'm going to try to get a connection to that. I swear, I'm going to get back on that.
Well, you got to get a connection to John Weideman, and you know, because he never called me, and I still wanted to make him enjoy that piece.
That's right. I will get a hold of him. I saw him at the Blackhawks convention, and I got his number, so I'll get a hold of him for you.
All right, yeah, and then, you know, if we can work something out with him, we can get him one of those big pieces to give away, you know, so.
Yeah, he loves that stuff.
And still represent the Gary Meyer show.
Well, I want to try to get some broadcasts over there, too. There's no reason. I mean, come on. Let's not get all crazy here.
One more thing before I let you go.
Huh?
I don't want to be a regular caller, but one more thing is that you're talking about your credit cards and things you put your credit cards in.
Yes, to make sure somebody doesn't suck out all the information.
When Jim comes, I'm going to show him something that a buddy of mine makes, and he does it out of billet aluminum. And he makes these, and they hold your driver's license, your credit cards, and they protect it from that RIF scans.
Really?
But what he does, Gare, is he engraves on it. And I finally found a good engraver. And this guy, we could put the Dreamliner on there. We could put the Gear Force on this thing. I mean, you got to see these things. I'll show Jim one when he comes.
Okay. Are they real thin?
They're nice, Gare. You'll like them. Yeah. They're really nice.
Because if you want it in your pocket, you don't want a lot of bulk.
No, it's thin, and then it's got a money clip on it. You can put your money through the money clip. I mean, they're really nice.
I like that because I don't bring my wallet with me every day.
I got my wallet out.
If I'm not driving, if I'm just taking the ultralight in, I don't need a license for that. So
you know, the problem with my wallet is I got too many singles in it, and it's too bulgy.
Oh yeah, you got that big wad. Sure. Yeah, I got about 25 singles I'm packing. Yeah. All right, Dave, we'll get together on all this.
Name. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, sometimes you just want to take a few items. I don't want to take a whole wallet.
Just go commando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's perfect.
Just peel off a few.
Credit card and a few bucks. A
couple of sawbucks.
Money clip on there. That's all you need. Why are you carrying all this stuff around?
You have your insurance card.
Fishing license. You got that, of course.
How good is that? How long is that for?
No, it's expired.
But you have your insurance cards with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you need that.
And the AAA card. Huh? Got to have that.
You seem to need that quite a bit.
I don't use it that much, but I like having it.
Yeah.
You just never know. There was a time there a few years ago I needed a tow truck.
That's what I'm saying.
And that really worked well. So, AAA.
Is that a yearly thing?
No, when you renew it, it goes multiple years.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In fact, mine doesn't expire for several more years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Little car talk. Leslie's here. She's got stuff.
That's every Wednesday at noon. Isn't there a show?
On this station, probably is, or will be. They're adding.
Hey, I just came up with a great idea for a show.
We've got the David Hochberg show. We got the surgeon that he's bringing in, right?
Yeah,
plastic surgeon.
And then I think there's some kind of a doctor, like a proctologist kind of guy.
Do some giveaways there. How about a free?
I can think of one show, but
procto exam.